Okay, here we are, February 18th, 2024, and Lisa's going to lead our discussion in Book of Moses, chapter 4, starting in verse 23 or 24.
Yeah, we did 23 last week, but I think we might want to just review it because it's a good little preview of where we're at. And hopefully my internet connection will be okay. But just holler out. I'll read 23. In order to evoke the many names of God, it is necessary to develop the gifts, therefore the corresponding feelings for each one of them, and yet protect your heart against the evil feelings that will be interposed in an uproar and stupor of thoughts. The question is, what are these gifts? And then just, I guess, being aware that the enemy will be giving us contrasting feelings and doubts and things like that. So we need to be able to discern if the all the feelings that are coming in. So let's start with verse 24 and Harm, would you like to read verse 24, please?
I love to. Faith, in turn, grounds right feelings, nullifying the influence of opposing feelings. And this generates the strength of the priesthood within man, who in turn interacts in the physical world. And this is the way prepared from the foundation of the world in which the only begotten Son shall come into the world and glorify the name of the Father, giving his disciples knowledge of these things, preparing the way by which others may be partakers of this gift, that they may have hope. And if you have only hope, so that your feelings cannot be shaken, then you will have faith. And if you have this faith, then you have in yourself the keys to open or close all situations.
Thank you. Any thoughts on that verse? There's a lot there.
Well, the hope, I tend to forget that hope builds up to the certainty of faith, that hope is in between knowledge and actually implying and of or not implying putting into action these feelings that you feel connected with the thing you're doing, and actually acknowledging the Lord in these feelings to be able to use the priesthood at all. So very
Good
much
point.
in here.
Thank you. Does anyone have the verses?
Yes. Well, I've got a couple of them. John 17:26, I think is interesting. It says, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." And then the Ether 12, 8 through 12. But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father, prepared a way that thereby the others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for these things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given, but in the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore, he showed not himself until after their faith.
I got Hebrews here.
Thank you.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Thank you. So it's kind of like, it seems like it's the first step. Or maybe hope is first. I'm not sure. But it is a gift, this gift of faith. Yeah, that's a lot. That's awesome. Great, great scriptures. And then yes. Our feelings will be unshaken, and then we will have the keys to open and close all situations, which that, I think that's the priesthood that you're talking about, Harm.
It's amazing.
Or the grace of God, which is for when they
Amen. Die. Amen to that, sister.
And then seal book of Moses 3, verse 70, and what is faith? Behold, faith is the sum of all feelings of trust. So it also has to do with trust. You have to, yeah, trust the first place yourself, I think, to be able to do certain things.
Yeah, first clean up your inside and then the outside. It goes both ways, probably.
Excellent.
I think it's interesting that at the end it says that you only, if you only have hope, then you will have faith. So it's almost like hope comes first. That's what you start with. You start with the hope, and then your faith can be strengthened, I guess.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Let's move on to verse 25. Balkia, will you read that one? Thank you.
Yeah. The names of God are fundamental so that we can know more about him, because they are an expression of the person of God within the children of men, reflecting their nature, importance, and divine characteristics among our fellow men. God reveals himself in us through their names, so that we are the representatives of his name on the face of the whole earth. And if you take the name of his Son, who is after the likeness of the Father, whose name equals to yours, then such names will lead you to know and admire his attributes, which are inseparable from his person. And just as it was said to Enoch, man shall also walk with God. And being in this state of communion through the priesthood are the grace of God in relation to women and other members of the covenant who were not called to the priesthood, but are filled with grace, the likeness of the only begotten Son of the Father. The elements then recognize the command of him who, acting in the name of his Son, through the feeling corresponding to the desired action, that is, to the divine stimulus within himself, then nothing will be impossible. But behold, all things will be subject to him through faith and prayer. These are long sentences with a lot in them.
They are, for sure.
It's possible, I have to say, it's possible. We were in Brazil with the prophet, and the one thing he constantly said was, it's possible, it's possible. So nothing will be impossible. Great, great stuff.
And it's interesting what you said about the grace and the priesthood, Lisa, because I always, yeah, I'm still learning more about it. Like if you get the priesthood, okay, that's clear, you know, you get the priesthood. But for women and other people who do not get the priesthood, it's more like, okay, you have to figure it out on your own or something, you know. And I was like, there's another verse in the sealed book about the grace of God, and it's in Moses, because this is in Moses 4 verse 25, and in Moses 5 verse 25 there's also some information about the priesthood. So yeah, I was surprised that it was in the same verse. If you want, I could read it, but
yeah. It's also a big verse, of course.
Yeah, it's also a big verse. But anyway, it's nice to look up the, and it's easy to remember that it's in Moses 4:25 and in Moses 5:25. There's more information about the grace of God.
I'm not following the. I look at Moses 4:25 and 5:25, and I guess I'm not seeing what you're saying.
So 4:25, which I just read, it's about the grace of God.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're talking about Sealed Book of Moses 4:25. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and then Sealed Book of Moses 5:25. There's also talk of either by the grace of God, which was poured out abundantly upon those who did not possess the holy priesthood of the only begotten Son, but for faith in his name, but for their faith in his name, as regards men and women who were baptized under the cloud, meaning that they were in a condition covenanted with Jehovah, just as their manifestations took place among the priests of their sacred order, the likeness of the only begotten of the Father. So, yeah, there's also a little bit of information about this priesthood, grace priesthood for women.
And also United Order, I think, the difference between United Order and the Church. But that's maybe for another... But this verse 4:25, it has great stuff about the names. Listen, whose name equals to yours? So it has to really do with the fundamentals of that. If you take the name of the Son upon you, your name becomes you like you are what is that enter in the tree that you. What's the word to put the branch in the tree again? That you're like adopted,
grafted in.
Yes, thank you, grafted.
The other thing I think is really interesting in this verse is how you can interact with the elements of the earth, that they will recognize you as the grace of the likeness of the only begotten, the Son of the Father's in you, then the elements then recognize the command that you give as coming from Christ. And really, you talk about walking on the water, you actually communicate with that water to support you, and then you can walk on it, or, you know, change the streams the way they go and so forth.
That's interesting. I just saw a little clip about a woman in the Oralinda book, Minerva, who walks on water. And if we could really, like, it, maybe it's a symbolic for if you control the water, you control the emotions, you know, the feelings. And if you would control that, then it would be like ice, maybe. I don't know. That it's a different form of the same element.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, I think, to try to control the negative feelings and turn them into...
Yeah, not control them, but change them.
Yeah, change alter them.
Into noble sentiments. Yeah.
Because, you know, you get attacked by those bad feelings like throughout the day, you know.
Peter could walk on water.
Yeah.
But he started having doubts. What am I doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, all these things, you know, we're given this power if we can just have the faith and, like you say, the right feelings. Nothing will be impossible, is what it says. You know, we can create what we need to create. Let's move on to verse 26. Michael, will you read verse 26 for us, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
26. However, Enoch was informed that to other men it was not lawful to know how to invoke the Almighty God in his day, and therefore he was forbidden to divulge this information to any other man or woman, except to those who showed themselves worthy of such merit within the covenant people. For in his day, in his days, that is, in the days of Enoch, this ineffable power, it was the key for the wicked to return their imagination inadequately to this great gift, the name of God, and thus to profane it without realizing the high attributes which derive from the name of the Most High, because they should never be evoked by a heart full of iniquities.
Well, you know, when that name is invoked by the wicked, of course, it's generally an anger feeling when the Lord's, this great gift is taken in vain. That's something that just popped in my head that, right, it's definitely not the sublime, lofty feelings that we're trying to achieve. We don't want to be angry with anybody if we can help it.
Right. It's like the exact opposite. You know, if you're really evoking the name of God, which is not pronounceable, you know, we're not really even able to pronounce it with our tongues. You know, we definitely need to have that love in our heart when we do so. Because we don't want this to happen. We don't want this, we don't want to invoke the name with a heart full of iniquities. A note, I looked up ineffable, and it says too great to be described by words. So, go ahead.
That's interesting. With the ineffable power, it was the key, you know, that took the interest of the people, the unimaginable power or technique or visible stuff, you know, that got their attention again in a wrong matter with the wrong reasons to use it for egocentric or power manipulation. Isn't that interesting? So they knew it about the priesthood in its pure form, with were surrounded with probably big gestures, and just like with Moses, with the and the fire and the cloud, but they got attracted because they wanted to use the power for their own. So that's all here. That was the problem, the key for the wicked to return. Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And about using God's, it's. I think that's also the commandment, you know, not to use God's name in vain. We then think about, well, cursing, you know. But I think this is also has to do with that.
Yeah, which you ask, what things you ask for in prayer, or yeah.
I had an experience, perhaps a step forward in unlocking this. I was trying to pronounce what I thought was the God's name. It was something like Wahua in my heart while I was looking at my dogs, who I love a lot. And literally I had a feeling of sublime love for about 10 seconds. And I think I did it. And so I was telling my wife's friends, hey, there's a secret in the yellow book. And I think I just made my first step because I felt all this love for my dogs. And they said, well, Dewey, now you just need to do it with people, which was a slap in the face in my face because I was thinking, yeah, well, I don't love people as much as I love my dog. But anyway, I think I may have actually done it once, and I need more practice, and I'll pass that on, hoping that that will help one of you guys to actually apply what we're learning, and so that we can obtain these gifts. Remember, we have to do it all as a group. And I'll pass.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for that example with animals. I think people will surely resonate that they don't love people but animals.
Can I also make a quick comment about the last verse, like 25, because I thought that was a bit of a strange sentence. God reveals himself in us through their names. And then I put it in the translator, the Portuguese sentence in translator, and then it says, God reveals himself in us through his names. So we also have to be aware that the translation is not fully perfected. So it makes a bit more sense, I think.
Yeah, well, God, if you look at God as Elohim, is you know, plural. So.
Well, yeah, it's also a pronoun. So maybe it's
Yeah.
People use they and them and their as pronouns. So yeah, maybe it's okay. But I just saw it in the translator. So
yeah, I have his question mark written above that as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think yeah, that's a Portuguese thing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens a lot. Yes.
Misunderstanding. Yeah. I sometimes like to think of it as there as well, like if there's a heaven and another, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
I'd really love to sing all that song of my father, which is the only reference that he's married with my gospel band. But I've got a mother there, very interesting, the family, isn't it? And who's in the spotlight.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to 27. Do we wait? Is that the one we're on?
Okay.
Yeah, right.
27.
Yes, please.
This sacred secret made known to all men outside the covenant would make the name of God a common evocation in their hearts of the children of men, which in the end would nullify their effectiveness even among the elect and possibly among the priests of his order. For many, it would be questionable whether this is really real or just an ordinary ordinance that is available to all, both just and unjust. Now, I would like to know how it suddenly became an ordinance, if anybody has ideas about that.
Well, I think the ordinance is just that it's kind of was institutionalized, that it was like the problem with the salute, that it got concrete, you know, and then the effectiveness has everything to do with the right feeling. So that's invisible. So that's all the whole thing all the time, visible stuff and invisible. Very clear feelings and uncertain feelings. So I think that's the ordinance part that you can't see it. You cannot see on the outside if somebody's really got a Melchizedek priesthood. Like for instance, in LDS church, most young men all get the high priesthood. So, but you can't see it. So that's the order.
What if it's when either person, female or male, go and do the ordinance, and they're saying the prayer using the secret name in their heart, because it's in the ordinances that the power of God is manifest, and only
Amen.
I forget what that verse is, but I wonder if it's when we're actually doing an ordinance, say we're healing the sick or something, that then instead of saying that set prayer that we say, I mean, I'm just thinking maybe it's when we invoke God's name in our heart when we perform that ordinance. Just, I feel the spirit of that. I think that's how
it connects. Probably as a musician, if you know the lyric really well and you did it multiple times, you can do other things at the same time. You know, you can emphasize more on the feelings, inviting the spirit to even in a realm of peace and light more. You know, if you don't have to concentrate on reading the words, for example, with the sacrament prayer they used to do in
just what I was thinking. You're saying the sacrament prayer out loud, and in your heart, you're also invoking the name of Wahua or whatever your heart says it is the same time. Yeah,
exactly.
At the same time. And then the power comes.
When I used to, for an important gig, for example, with lots of audience, I really always had to focus on not to think about lyrics, because when I started to think about the words, I lost them always. I always had blackouts when I was busy with the fear of not remembering, instead of having the faith that when I would start to sing and play, that would come to me. So I think it has to do with that uncertainty of performing, also the acting, instead of only invoking the elements too, for that it could become visible for the people who have not so much faith, you know, that it would be visible to them. I feel that's why everybody goes to the concerts, probably, you know, to the lack of feeling these emotions.
Well, that's how you could do the opposite in a big way. I mean, you can worship God in the concerts, which I've done and immensely enjoyed, and but I'm not sure it's holy. It's like the unholy ghost. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you do it? You get paid to do that. That's the whole idol thing, you know. And also that you don't need to write your own song anymore, sing somebody else's song was already very good known, and we'll make a lot of money doing it and have a lot of fun. So it's different what drives you. That's why it's so important what you want to do with that. And the United Order, of course, that you all you want to give all to the group, get the group upgrade. Sorry for the long interruption, but seemed important.
We better give the lesson back. Yeah.
This is all great. So we don't want this to be just commonplace, you know. It's not commonplace. This is something very sacred, very secret. That we need to have those really good feelings in our hearts. Okay. Let's see. I think we're on verse 28, Russell. Will you read 28? You are muted still.
Yes, thank you.
In these days, however, some of the holy sentinel angels who were of the watchers class, who were designated from the beginning as heralds of God in regard to earthly affairs, and therefore they could materialize in carnal bodies in the likeness of men, and to infiltrate among the sons and daughters of Adam under the influence of Anakiel, the person responsible for the plot that took place among the vigilantes who were corrupted, known among his fellows by Azazel, being the principal of those who abandoned their position that they obtained in heaven. They came to build for themselves great refuges in which some of them, under the influence of Satan, had intercourse with the daughters of men, and in it have they brought forth seed, the giants of the land. This is interesting, this whole verse. Many of the RLDS people do not like the fact that the sealed book talks about this. And they've just, you know, thrown away the sealed book because of it. They think that this angels and with daughters of men is not a true doctrine. It's in the book of Enoch, and it's a little bit referenced in Jude, the Bible, but they don't like it.
I saw the coolest thing on the book of Enoch explaining how they manipulated the DNA right before Noah. And the way they did it was that they had hundreds and hundreds of animals. And so, you know, when you breed an ass and a horse, it makes a donkey, but it doesn't always happen. Well, they had these groups, so big of groups that they could actually manipulate the DNA. And it was interesting that that's one of the things that God got mad about that happened in the days of Noah and will also happen in our day. As you know, we're manipulating DNA as we speak. And it's probably one of the reasons why we'll get destroyed. But anyway, I thought it was just fascinating that it supports, you know, the more I read the Yellow Book, the more it seems like Star Trek to me, which I don't have any problem with, because I got to believe that Morana gets around in his spaceship, and I mean, they just know things. Anyway, that just popped in my head. Maybe I better turn it back.
It's true. These watchers, I mean, it's all over the scriptures, you know, like you said, Enoch, and in the Bible, referenced in the Bible as well. Very interesting.
That footnote from Moses 8:18 I've got here.
Please read it. Thank you.
And in those days, there were giants on the earth, and they sought Noah to take away his life. But the Lord was with Noah, and the power of the Lord was upon him. So I think this class of giants, or Nephilim, as they're known, was the result of the offspring between the watcher class that rebelled and the daughters of men, right? They created this huge class of men. And that's when we talk about giants in the land, that's who they were.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the flood happened, is to kind of wipe out all that iniquity that was going on at the time of Noah.
But they still existed in the time of Moses, because the watchers, or not the watchers, the
spies.
The spies are giants.
Right.
The promised land.
And they're, I'm not sure, to come back.
I'm not sure those are the same giants, but.
Okay.
Well, and
they're to come back in our day.
Yeah, there's the giants. Are
to come back in our day, all these things will repeat. And so now whether man will do that, but as in the days of Noah, so will be the last days. And so these things are going to repeat. So
that's also interesting about this verse, it's we talk a lot about, you hear a lot about the watchers and the Nephilim, but here it says the holy sentinel angels that were in who were of the class of the watchers, was designated from the beginning as heralds of God. So the very specific, and that's probably why you use the Star Wars type of thing, because it's the whole intergalactic federation of planets, right? Like this, and that's there's a structure there and an immensity to it, that why people have taken it out through the years, probably all this stuff that don't let them think about it. But if you read the Book of Enoch, please do, because it really helps to get a value and appreciation of the whole calendar stuff and the details and the eternal round. Yeah, very interesting. This about the that they had a function, a really clear function, and they disobeyed, and they got into their own luxurious apartments here, great refuges, and yeah, the whole thing about the outward instead of inward, beautiful clothing, probably nice surroundings. So always the same.
Yeah, John was just telling me a few days ago about, he sees things on YouTube, and I guess YouTube knows his algorithms and or what he likes, and he's seen a few YouTubes about giants that are current, you know, right now, and he was sharing some of that with me, so that was very interesting.
They sent some SEAL teams down to get him, and it's a, yeah, you got to check that out. It's this, yeah. All of the stuff is happening right now,
and it's visible now. So take that in account. It's all that is visible. It's not necessarily true. We have to use the spirit to discern.
Right. Yeah.
But you can't take, you can't, it's like for the kids, you know, for the people who don't, can feel, and the seeing also, the eye also eats with the dish.
Yeah, weren't there giants at a mall in Florida or something? Wasn't that a while back in America?
I don't remember that. But
okay, I saw some.
Well, I think the SEAL team was in Iraq, and you can listen to the guy who led the team talk about what they did. So, if you're interested in something to widen your eye, anyway, it's interesting. Yeah. If you're if you got plenty of time, inquiring minds want to know.
Amen.
All right. Well, I will read verse 29. Due to an agreement made between the watchers, so that the angels who were rebellious would not come to imprison the remaining vigilantes who remained in the land to fulfill their purpose among the children of men, and that they would leave the covenant people in peace. And both, I remember looking at both those scriptures that are listed, and they didn't make sense to me. But anyways, we could try reading them.
I'd like to read a version of that from the Portuguese to the English.
Okay.
The in prison didn't make sense. And what it says here is, due to an agreement, it was established between the sentinels that rebellious angels did not come to the prison, remained on earth in order to fulfill their purpose among the children of men, that they might leave the people of the covenant. I don't know if that helps much, but
that seems completely different.
I was going to make a comment about how far we're going to go. After this verse, we start getting into the things about Azazel and the goats and so forth. And there's a lot that goes into that, and maybe we should leave it for another time.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you think about what we've understood about the way the law of Moses did, as far as the two goats that were picked, which goat was sacrificed and which goat was let go. The one that was, the sins were put on, was not the one that was sacrificed. It's not the one that represented Christ. And so you might think about that as you read these next verses. I think we'll cover this next time. And in fact, okay. I may take the assignment to lead the discussion next time.
Thank you.
And
I was wondering if you could, there was a talk given by Abram Gileadi in 2011, which he later made into a book, which I showed when I gave my lesson on the kings and queens of the Gentiles. But that lesson that I gave about 3 weeks ago on the kings and queens, I wonder if you could also put up one additional link to, I have a YouTube copy of that. And that is, that's, I consider that particular talk one of the greatest things I had heard, even equal to the Yellow Book. And it's 25 minutes long. It's a YouTube video. I was there at the conference. There were many of the kings and queens of the Gentiles were there. Remember, there's groups that will go back to Zion, and the kings and were white guys, not the white guys, the Gentiles, who are the Mormons. Anyway, the big contribution that we will make as the Gentile church is to be the kings and queens of the Gentiles. They're the only ones that will go to Zion, because we, the kings, will be going and bringing the Lamanites up. And I just feel like when you're ready to really delve into some amazing teachings, I'm asking all of you guys to watch that video. That was an amazing conference. There was a time when you had, we were going around all the 10 states. I was going with Abram, and they were teaching these covenants. And I just feel like the Yellow Book is kind of hinting about it. And in fact, you'll see that there are two or three scriptures, like the scripture where the three different trees were in the vineyard. Then Mauricio said, well, yeah, that's the restoration and the Mormons and the Lamanites. Anyway, he described these, or temple lots. He described the trees in the, it's a little different than what, anyway, I want you to see that YouTube video and check that out.
Send me the link, and I'll send out an email with that, and also with some more information about Azazel.
Okay.
And we can prepare ourselves for next time.
Let me see.
Well, any other thoughts about what we've read today? Any closing thoughts or anything about this?
About Daniel, the reference, thought it was interesting. What it said, because of Daniel 4, verse 17, this matter is by decree of the watches, and by the demand, by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will, and set it up over it, the basest of men. And I thought that's interesting because of the whole designation, that it's always within the parameters designed by the Lord. You know, that they're always the bounds and meeks are set. And this is the verse 29, due to an agreement You know, so it's so interesting that it's all about making covenants, agreements, and that we can trust the our omnipotent Father watching over all of this plan of redemption, and it's amazing. So that's one thing I would like to add. Thank you.
Yeah, and I also would like to add the other verse there in Daniel, the verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be with the beasts of the field, shall seven times pass over him. I think it's intimating some of the things you were just talking about. And I don't think I fully understand what it's saying there, but yeah, it's interesting.
I feel the spirit because I'm studying this whole tree of life thing in the Book of Enoch also, and you have the fragrant trees, and I was thinking about the step backwards with the Ten Commandments, and maybe that is the iron thing surrounding the olive tree, you know. And it would be that even Jesus, at the time of Jesus, he was making a little start again, but that it may, I was looking into this, that it would be the tree of good and evil there in Jerusalem at that time, instead of the tree of life, that the tree of life would be with the Essenes, who also probably had the Book of Zenos and Book of Enoch, and but they already, but maybe this is too much in depth, but it's so interesting, the olive tree, the symbolism of the olive tree, how everything, it ties everything together, and what we talked about, and the wetness of the dew, you know, that it comes from above to the whole blessing thing. And that the tree goes up, you know, the up and down thing. So thank you so much, everybody. Yes. Great to see you again.
Yes, thank you. All right, I guess we could stop the recording and...